So the Buddha Shakyamuni, since the first time, since the beginning of his generating this attitude of compassion or attitude of bodhicitta, so since then, the sole practice of the Buddha Shakyamuni has been the generation of bodhicitta, awakening mind. So again, it is so fortunate on a part, whether from my side or from the student's side, it's very, very, very fortunate that we are studying this this topic on bodhicitta. So which the great masters like Nagarjuna, Asanga and so forth, they have taught. And on your part also, that is so fortunate that you are getting the opportunity to listen to such discourse on bodhicitta. So it's almost in the late time of the 5th Dalai Lama. So there is at that time there is one great practitioner, and then he kind of revealed his experience to the 5th Dalai Lama, saying that, "Oh, today I got an opportunity to give a discourse on love, compassion, bodhicitta. So because of that, so the kind of the physical stress that I have, that is eliminated altogether." He felt so relieved physically even at having getting the opportunity to give discourses on altruism, love and compassion. So from that perspective, again, I also feel very fortunate to be having gotten the opportunity to give this discourse on bodhicitta. Through meditating in this manner upon the disadvantages of cyclic existence from different perspectives over a long time, you will indeed see all existence as being like a pit of blazing fire, and your mind will be thoroughly overcome by the wish to attain the liberation that completely pacifies suffering. If, due to that, you train in the three trainings, you will attain liberation from cyclic existence, and moreover, will not turn back again even for the glory of high status. For somebody who is successful in eradicating the delusions for good, so no doubt he has achieved the state of liberation, and yet, there is a state where a single individual person has just achieved a mere liberation of peace. And if you reflect on the qualities that this person has achieved, so in terms of his personal, his own interest, he has yet to be perfected. And although he is a follower of the Buddha Shakyamuni, but the way in the Buddha actually followed this path is something very different from this man, because Buddha Shakyamuni has actually emphasized or practiced, has been considering, and the practice of bodhicitta is the sole practice. And because of motivated by that attitude of compassion and bodhicitta, he then proceeded through accumulating merits for three countless aeons. And he involved himself in the practice of the six perfections and so forth, thereby having put so much of effort in achieving that state of Buddhahood. And that person, simply having achieved the liberation, personal liberation, so if you think of that person, so it is quite sad that the way he followed and the way the Buddha Shakyamuni followed the path are two different ways. The Buddha Shakyamuni has been constantly thinking about other beings, and that person is constantly being absorbed in his own personal benefit. So it is as if like this person is saying that, "Oh, Buddha Shakyamuni, you know, so it is whatever effort that you've put in, so I really don't want to do as you said, or as you." So then it is as if like the person is saying that, oh, Buddha Shakyamuni, you have put so much of effort in meditating altruism, accumulating enormous amount of merit for the sake of other beings. So all these things are your own task, you know. And whereas I'm going to follow just the other way, simply working for my own benefit. So this is quite a kind of sad thing. And whereas now, if you reflect on how the Buddha Shakyamuni really followed the paths, so we should, since we being a genuine kind of follower of the Buddha Shakyamuni, so we should generate such an attitude that whether or not I can be an able person, but still I at least want to imitate what the Buddha Shakyamuni did. In what way the Buddha Shakyamuni have been altruistic, although we don't have that kind of capacity right now, but at least we can emulate what the Buddha Shakyamuni did, and at least we can mentally kind of support, mentally try to make preparation for aping or for emulating what the Buddha Shakyamuni followed the paths. And on that basis, we should make a conviction or commitment that, oh, indeed, I will be a very good follower, trying to really follow as the Buddha actually proceeded through the path by trying to imitate what he did. So when you speak of person, it means someone who is with talent or with some potential. Since it is the happiness and magnificence of beings and the ability of a being, it is appropriate to take responsibility for the welfare of others, because to observe only one's own welfare is something we also share with the animals. Therefore, the natural disposition of great beings is to categorically strive for the benefit and happiness of others. Thus, seeing how migrating beings are tormented by suffering, those who are called a being or wise should toil for their welfare. In the same text, it says, there exists an entrance to the great vehicle, the source of one's own, a source of one's own and others with excellence, medicine removing all problems, the great path traveled by all wise beings that nurtures all migrating beings through seeing, hearing, remembering and touching, that possesses the great skillful means, that by working for the welfare of others, accomplishes by the way one's own welfare without any incompleteness, thinking, oh, I found exactly what I was looking for. You should engage in these special vehicles with whatever ability of being you have. So these words really need to be reflected and reflected, and to make sure that then you would generate such a moving kind of experience, touching experience in your heart. So the actual path in following the Mahayana tradition, three paths, demonstrating that generating the mind of enlightenment is the only gateway to the great vehicle. How to generate such a mind? Having generated the mind of enlightenment, how to train in the conduct? Now, therefore, as it is necessary to enter the great vehicle, you come to think about how it is to be entered. There is no great vehicle apart from the two, the perfection and mantra vehicles taught by the conqueror. Whichever of the two you may enter, the only gateway is the mind of enlightenment or bodhicitta. Whenever it is generated in the continuum, even though nothing else has arisen, one is posited as a great vehicle practitioner, whereas whenever one is separated from it, whatever good qualities one has, such as the realization of emptiness and so forth, one will fall to the level of hearer and the like, and degenerate from the great vehicle. So if you simply aspire to achieve liberation for oneself, this is actually having a very something very a small scope thing about only oneself. And whereas if you work for the welfare of other beings, if you try to generate such an attitude encompassing all sentient beings as objects to be benefited, so then whatever action that you commit yourself in, so like whether giving discourse or whether kind of offering something out of generosity, these things, all actions will then turn out to be a Mahayana action. So that way, if you think of generating a desire to benefit all other beings, and then also at the same time generating such a desire to achieve the highest state of enlightenment, which has actually accomplished the state of the ultimate or the perfected state of cessation, and the ultimate state of the perfected realization. So these two kind of attitudes, they are actually so vast in the scope and so amazing and incredible. So we all commonly claim ourselves to be Mahayana practitioner. So we have to really see whether or not we are qualified in that Mahayana practitioner. So by really seeing whether or not we have these two attitudes intact in us, so it will be just a kind of empty pride if you think that, if you claim yourself to be a Mahayana practitioner simply on the basis that you have read through some of the Mahayana literature. So to just check whether or not you really are qualified in a Mahayana practitioner or Mahayana system, so you make sure to see whether or not you have those two attitudes, the desire to work for the welfare of all other beings on the one hand, and the desire to achieve that state of enlightenment or the Buddhahood, which is having in possession the perfected state of cessation and realization, to work for the welfare of all beings. So if you are really in possession of these two qualities, so no doubt then you are qualified as a Mahayana practitioner, or otherwise your claim seems to be very empty. And whereas if you are not having in possession of these two qualities, so if you really want to be a Mahayana practitioner or wants to be addressed as a Mahayanist, so we make sure that we strive in generating, creating about these two attitudes in oneself.